Thank you, worship team. Friends and family of GCBCR, good morning. Good morning. A lot of old and new faces here this morning. We're glad you are here to celebrate with us baptism. We have a couple folks that are coming up later. And so because we're talking about baptism, I want to ask us the question, is bathing good for us or not? And I know some of you guys don't bathe, you take showers. But is bathing good for us or not? So here's what I'd like to do. We have a panel of experts over here. So I'm going to ask them and kind of, you know, see what they think about taking baths, okay? Because later we're going to explore two passages in Scripture that talks about bathing, okay? Bathing not in a washing your body kind of sense, but more from a spiritual God end of times, eternal perspective, sort of bathing, because that leads to that. So, kids, who here thinks bathing is good for us? All right. Less than half. Who here thinks bathing is bad for us? You don't like taking baths? Juliana, is your hand raised? Her mom's right there, by the way. Is bathing good or bad? She's thinking. All right, who raised their hand to say bathing is good? Okay, well, give me a good reason why we should take bath. Why I shouldn't not shower for a whole month. Because you'll be stinky. Is this on, guys?
Because you'll be stinky and nobody will be your friend.
Okay, because then you'll be all smelly and stinking and nobody wants to sit by you at service, okay? All right, who else raised their hand that says bathing is good or not? All right, we got Christina in the back here. Christina, what you got? Why is it good, in your opinion?
You don't get dandruff.
You don't get dandruff. Ah, all right. Whoever here has dandruff, okay, taking baths will help you with your dandruff problem. Okay, let's see a guy. I want to see a guy perspective. Did you raise your hand? All right, why is bathing good? Are you on the good camp or the bad camp? The good, it's good for you? Okay, why is that?
Because you don't have any more bacteria anymore.
Wow. Man, these kids have been brainwashed. they all know that bathing's good for you, okay? None of them said it's bad, which I'm shocked, because when I was a kid, oh, are you saying it's bad?
No.
You're saying it's good? All right, we'll hear one more.
To clean yourself.
Okay, to clean yourself. All right, so our panel of experts here pretty much agreed that bathing is good for us because it is important, it's critical, right? It's good for your health. If you don't take baths, then you'll have a ton of health issues. Okay, bad skin, people start hating you, they don't want to be your friends. Things like that. So we can pretty much agree that taking baths are good, okay? Remember that premise, taking baths are good for us. And so we're going to explore two areas right now where the Bible's going to talk about taking baths, but not in the literal sense of going into a shower and taking a bath like that. So I'm going to go back to our panel of experts here. Can you think of any situations in the Bible where God gave the earth, the whole earth, a bath? Ah, we got one. Oh, maybe I should test the adults. See if you guys know your Bible, huh? All right, what is that event?
The flood, like when Noah was...
All right, the mic's not on, guys.
The flood, when okay. Like Noah and his ark.
Okay, so the flood, okay? If you didn't get that answer, then you need to go to Sunday school. Go there and learn about stuff like that. So our kids did great. Kudos to the Sunday school teachers. Yes, so the... All right, yes, go ahead. Give them a round of applause. They're doing an awesome job teaching our kids scripture. We only had one person in here that raised their hands, okay? So the next quiz will be for the adults. But taking a bath is good, and we know that very early on in scripture, in fact, in the book of Genesis, God gave the entire earth a bath. Most of us, when we think about Noah and the ark, this is the picture we think about, right? There's a boat, Noah's on there, he's all stressed out because there are all kinds of animals on the boat, on the ark. all the animals are in pairs because that's how God made them walk into the ark. And so normally when you're in a kid's Sunday school, you get like the nice sanitized version. You see this picture, it's all cute. You know, we give out like little animals as toys and gifts. But if you back up and you ask, why did God even send in the flood, right? Why was the whole world covered in water? Why was it taking this bath literally for 40 days and 40 nights? The story, the unsanitized version, is actually really dark. Okay, it's a dark thing. Kids, I'm sorry, I'm totally messing up the Noah and the Ark story for you guys this morning. But it's actually a really dark story. And God had a really valid reason for sending the flood in to clean out the earth. And we're going to look a little bit from Genesis chapter 6 as to why that is. And we also want to ask the question, what does the flood has got to do with me? Okay, that stuff happened back way, 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 way early in the history of humanity. Why should I care that flood even occurred, right? That's the question we want to dig into passage this morning and ask that question. Because God's going to show us that this flood actually has deep implications on each of our lives. Because it goes back to the original history when man and God were together. Something went really wrong, and that's why the flood was brought upon. And then secondly, we also want to ask question, is this flood showing us anything that could be happening in the future? Because what we're going to find out later also is that the flood is pointing to something happening in the future that impacts every single one of you sitting here this morning. How you understand the flood, how you understand what it is pointing to, has daily implications to you today, and it has implication to your eternal destiny. And that's why we want to look at the flood, because it sets up the context for what we're going to look at the passage later. So Genesis 6 gives us a little bit of context as to the flood. It says in Genesis 6, verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. And so the Bible sets us up to understand who is Noah, who is his family, why are they special? It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Okay, so Noah was different. He was special. He was faithful, he was blameless, and he had a tight relationship with God. He was faithful to God. Now, contrast that with everyone else living on the earth at this point. Now, bear in mind, this is just a few generations in after Adam and Eve, okay? So Adam and Eve were the first pair of humans that God created, that he loved, that he spent time with, and Noah was just a few generations removed from that. So we're not talking about eons and eons of time. This is just several generations removed from Adam and Eve. It says, this is what the earth have become. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. See, that's the dark part of the flood. We normally think about how God saved Noah and the animals, but we don't normally touch on why the flood happened in the first place. It's because the people had gotten so corrupt. And we know the corruption came from the beginning, right? When God first created Adam and Eve, in creation, it was perfect, right? They were hanging out with each other. God was in their presence. They were walking around in the Garden of Eden. But Adam and Eve sinned. They fell by disobeying God by eating the fruit that God said don't eat. Because the moment they ate that, sin entered the world, death entered the world, and we know that all these violence come from a heart that is sinful. And so we see just a few generations in, sin had corrupted every single person on earth to the point where God said, I'm going to start with a clean plate because it's just gotten so evil, so corrupt. And Noah was the only one that God found righteous and blameless and faithful to him. So in verse 17, it says, this is God speaking. He said, I'm going to bring flood water on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, you meaning Noah, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. So when we think about the flood, there are two ways of looking at it. The first way is, man, it was God pouring out his judgment on the world, right? To combat sin, to combat violence, to combat humanity that has just gotten so corrupt. But when God made his covenant with Noah, there was also a salvation piece to the flood, right? Not everyone was wiped out. Noah and these animals were saved by God on the ark so that not everyone was perishing. Noah and the animals were saved. And so when we think about the flood that came in, there's both judgment that was poured out, but also God's mercy and grace in saving Noah, his family, and these animals that were on the ark, right? Wrath and mercy and grace happening all at the same time in the flood. Now, why is this important? Because when we go to 1 Peter 3, Peter links this worldwide flood event with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Okay, that's a little bit of a jump. You're like, how do I tie the flood of Noah with Jesus Christ? And so this is the passage that Peter writes about, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. And he's going to draw a connection for us that says that flood that happened in the beginning of time is significant because it's foreshadowing an event that's going to happen with Jesus Christ. And so if you can understand how they relate together, then you can know God's plan for you and his eternal destiny for you. Okay? So let's read 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. It says, for Christ suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. See, Peter's starting to tie Jesus, he's tying in Noah, he's tying in those who disobeyed God, and he's tying those who obeyed God. It says, in it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what Peter's doing here is he's tying the flood, again, it's the judgment and the wrath of God, but at the same time, the mercy and grace of God. And he ties that to Jesus. And he says, when you are baptized, so when these three folks right here, they're going to go into the water and get immersed in there, it's a literal symbolic picture of them dying, right? I'm going to be drowning these guys. I'm going to be shoving their face in the water. Literally, symbolically, death. They're identifying their death now with the death of Jesus Christ. It says here that Jesus gave his body for us. He literally died. But that's not the only thing that happens. I'm going to be pulling them back up again. All right. Hopefully not holding them down too long, but pulling them back up. And that symbolizes the resurrection of Jesus. See how Peter ties here the death and resurrection of Jesus in water with the flood that happened back in the beginning of history. And so these three folks, they're going to experience both a spiritual death because we're putting them underwater, and they identify with Christ and say, you know, when Christ died, I'm dying with him. I'm buried with Christ. And when they come out of the water, they're saying, I'm also resurrected in new life of Christ, in Christ because of his death and resurrection. And so what I have for you guys is this. All of you should have a bath sponge. I literally did not know what this thing was called. I had to Google it. It's called a bath sponge or an exfoliator. So, all of you should have one, and the reason is because as you're using this in your shower or you're taking a bath, the next time you're kind of pouring water onto your body, we want you to be thinking about baptism. We want you to be thinking and reminded of what happened in the flood. We want you to be reminded of what Jesus Christ did for each one of you today, so that you may have eternal life in Christ. We want you to be thinking about these three persons that you're going to be witnessing today of how they're going to die and resurrect and have a new life in Christ. So you guys all have your little exfoliator? You're going to wave it in the air? Yeah? If you don't have one, just raise your hand. Bill over there is going to give you one. So sorry for destroying your image when you're showering. But now each time you shower, we hope that you're reminded of the goodness of Christ, of how he gave his life for you, so that you may have eternal life in Jesus. Okay? So we're going to invite folks right here to share the testimony. Each one of them went through a very different journey in how they came to know God. And so we want them to share with you how Christ has made a difference in their lives and how they're going to have a new life in Christ. So I'm going to invite Aaron, come on up.